I would like for you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to make this statement to you. This passage is going to say that you are a special people. And you being the idea that you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've trusted Christ as Savior. And that very fact means to God Almighty, you are a special people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation. You know, in the beginning, God took Abraham and he set Abraham aside and he said, I'm going to make you a great nation and I'm going to multiply you as the stars in the heaven. And Israel began to grow and became a great nation, but then Israel failed to take the gospel message to the world and failed to submit and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Jewish nation was set aside. And then Christ came, was crucified, was buried, and then rose from the dead, and the church was started. Now, in this passage, God is talking, Peter is writing to the church. He's writing to believers. He says, you are a chosen generation. And I think he's talking about the church. You're a chosen generation. We have a big responsibility to take the gospel to the world. But you are a special people. And then he says, you are a royal priesthood. Now, before the law was given, the head of every home was to be the priest. If you were the head of the home, you were to be a priest. Then the law was given, and God's original plan, Exodus 19:6, God's original plan was for the whole nation of Israel to be priest, all the men to be priest. But Israel, again, failed. And when Israel failed to be priest and represent Christ and take the gospel to the world, Israel was set aside and God took one tribe, the tribe of the Levites, and they became the priest. Now, priest is the idea that you have access to God. And then Christ came, and we know the gospel, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and God took every believer, everyone that trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says, is a priest. So he says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a priest. So if you're sitting here today and you're saved, the Bible says you are a priest, meaning you have access to God. And you have responsibilities. The priest in the Old Testament had responsibilities, and you as a priest have responsibilities. Then he says, and you are a holy nation. Holy because God has imputed his righteousness in you. And you are a holy nation, a body of believers who is righteous because of Christ. And then he says, and you are a peculiar people. Now that just means you're a people that belong to God. You are a special people. So in this group today, most of you would say, I know Christ as my Savior. And Christ says, because of that, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. Do you understand? This is a special group of people that are meeting here today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in every other church in America that is meeting under the belief of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Special people. Now also, That whole group is one family. One family. And we here together today would be one family. The idea that every person in here that knows Christ as Savior shares the same divine nature. Holy Spirit has come down and indwelled you, and you share that nature with every other believer in here. Also, we are all priests serving the same God. We all have the same purpose. Every believer in here is a priest serving the same God. In addition, we are all citizens of one heaven. I used to say this a lot, but the idea that you better learn how to get along now, because you're all going to be in the same heaven together someday, if you know Christ as Savior. So we're one family. We're together as a family. Now, all that said, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, special people, verse 9 says that, here's the reason, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light. So you're a special people that you may show forth the praises of God. Tell of His virtues. Tell of His goodness, His holiness. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people. You know what? It used to be, if we would go far enough back with each one of us, and be different for each person, but if we go far enough back, you were not a chosen generation. You were not a royal priesthood because you were not saved. I was saved in June 1973. Before that, I was not part of a holy nation. I was not a special people because I had not received Christ as Savior. Can you think back to that time in your life? Can you remember back when Christ was not your Lord and Savior? I know in my life this. I didn't give salvation a thought. I didn't spend any time worrying about it. I didn't spend any time talking to people about it. I just knew I didn't even think about it. It wasn't an issue. I knew also if I sinned before I was saved, I sinned, it didn't bother me. I didn't think anything about being wrong or bad or doing things I wasn't supposed to do. That's before I got saved. So, it says here in verse 10, it wasn't always that way. It hasn't always been as a special people, a royal priesthood. I don't know about you, but I think this, if your testimony is you got saved as a child, and there's some sin in your life today, you should make a serious examination. Do you honestly know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? A lot of times people are raised in Christian families, and they get saved as a young child, and they don't see a dramatic change in their life. When I got saved, my life changed. I mean, my goals in life, my purpose for living, my peace that I never had, I had all that when I got saved. And if you got saved as an adult, the same thing probably happened to you. But if your testimony is you got saved as a child, which I think you can, you want to be certain, you want to make sure that you're honestly saved. So Paul just says, or Peter says here, he said, I'm not sure. It always wasn't that way. We were not that kind of people. It says, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Strangers, sojourners, pilgrims, this life here, this earth, is just temporary. We're here for a short time. We're just passing through. We're strangers here. We're pilgrims here. And he is saying that, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul." We are to demonstrate Christ by living right. We are not to live in fleshly sin because you're a Christian person. Remember, as a priest, now you have a responsibility and you have some duties. One of those is to live right. By living right, you praise God. And it says here that we war against the soul, that the flesh wars against the soul. War, here's what happens in war. People get wounded. People are disappointed. People have heartache. People are lonely. People die. That's the same thing that happens spiritually. Our spiritual battle is not against another person. Our battle is a spiritual one. Battles against Satan. And Satan wars against your life as a Christian person. So look, let's look. You are a special person. And you are a special person that you may praise God and live right to praise God. But in that process, Satan wars against you. In war, people get hurt and people are killed. We're going to serve the Lord's table here in a little bit. The Lord's table, it says, judge yourself, examine yourself, so that when you take the Lord's table, you do not take it unworthily. Unworthily means you take it with unconfessed sin in your life, and you take it with the idea that you're going to walk out of here and live the same sinful life that you were living when you walked in here. And he says, if you do that, many are sick and many die. So it's pretty serious. God says, if you take the Lord's table today unworthily, in sin and not planning on stopping, that many take it and they get sick as a result. God judges them. If you won't judge your sin, if I won't judge my sin, God will judge me himself. And if I determine, if I just say an insincere, forgive me, and I walk out and I'm going to smoke pot or do whatever, then the warning is God's going to judge me with sickness or with death. So this is pretty serious. I'll tell you what, a warning. You do not want to take this Lord's table today unworthily. So he says in verse 12, having your conversation. Conversation means your behavior. Having your behavior honest among the Gentiles, meaning honest before the unsaved. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of judgment. So he's just saying our behavior should be honest. Our behavior should be a godly life. It's not just, our responsibility isn't just to avoid sin. Our responsibility is to live honestly and produce good works. It brings a good testimony.